Welcome to Diverse City Church Sermons. We hope that you enjoy this week's message by Pastor Ray.
If you got your Bibles, like to join me, great. If not, it's okay. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then I'm going to skip down a little bit and start reading at verse 19. And I'm going to read 19 through about 23. So I got a lot of verses for you. I really need to read them all to let you understand what's happening here. So Judges chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Again, the children of Israel did evil in sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat any unclean thing. Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord, please let this man of God whom you sent come again to visit us and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man whom to me the other day has just now appeared again to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. Verse 19. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame from the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on the ground with their faces to the ground, and the Lord appeared no more. The angel of the Lord appeared no more. And then Manoah and his wife were sitting there watching this angel of the Lord. And Manoah says, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the woman who had a child named Samson. Now, most of us know the story of Samson because Samson was on the scene during a very bad or troubling time of Israel. The nation of Israel had been taken into captivity and is now under the rule or iron fist of the Philistines. And for 40 years, the Philistines had been treating the Israelites very harshly, and the Israelites did not have much freedom. Their economy was jacked up, and anything they did have was connected to the Philistines. They were in many ways, shapes, and forms slaves. And then the wife, excuse me, I was about to say Hannah, but it's not Hannah. The wife of Manoah began to pray because she was barren. She wanted a son. She wanted a child. And she was like, Lord, I want to have a son. I want to have a kid. And God finally came through, answered her prayers, and gave her a son, and his name was Samson. We all know the story of Samson. Samson was a Nazarite. A Nazarite was someone that dedicated their life to God from the time they were born. They don't cut their head. They live a very simple life. They consecrate themselves to the Lord. They're people of prayer, people of sacrifice, and then the anointing of God comes on them so powerfully, and they begin to be used by God in profound ways. Well, for Samson, the profound way he was used is he was the deliverer of Israel from the Philistines. We all know that Samson was very strong and very mighty, and he went up against many Philistines, government officials, and the whole nation of Philistine, bringing forth freedom for the Israelites. We all know the story of Samson, but few of us know the story of Samson's mom. We all know about what he did, but we don't really know what she did. We don't know the part that she played. And we just read the story out of Judges chapter 13, and the Bible says that Manoah had a wife. The woman's name was wife. The Bible doesn't even give her a name. It just says that Manoah's wife was barren. And Manoah's wife began to pray and say, Lord, I would love to have a child. And then an angel of God showed up on the scene and says, I'm going to grant your request, and you're going to get pregnant, and you are to make sure that you don't drink any liquor. No Mad Dog, no Irk and Jerk, no Hennessy, no Jim Beam, none of it. None of that. If you cheap, it's Mad Dog. If you like the good stuff, it's Alizé. If you somewhere right in the middle, I don't know, what is it? Somebody's going to shout it out. You know. No, you lie. You lie so bad. Yeah, Rolling Rock if you white, Hennessy if you black. That could be wrong. I know Jim Beam. And here's what God said. God said to her, through the angel of the Lord, you need to make sure that you ain't drinking no liquor, no drinking. I need you to start taking care of yourself, taking care of your body, because I'm about to impregnate you. And I know you've been told all your life that you're barren and you can't have children, but you need to start acting like I'm about to do something and trust that I am, and you need to start eating better and taking care of your baby. All those unclean foods, you can't eat them no more because they're going to affect your baby. All that unclean lifestyle, drinking and smoking again, you need to put that to the side because you got a baby that's inside of you. And this baby's about to be a blessing to all of Israel. And then she gets pregnant. And then she has Samson. But we forget the story of the woman, and that's what I want to do today. I want to look for just a few moments at her story. And really, when I began to read this and read through it again and again, the Lord showed me a few very valuable points. The first point that I want you to see here is that believe God beyond what your situation looks like. That's what we need to do. We need to believe God beyond what our situations look like. Now, I'm going to explain this in detail in just a second, but the scripture I want you to see is verse 3. It says that the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Everybody see that? You shall conceive and bear a son. And when I began to look at this, I think about two things. I think about where this woman is in her household, in her own personal life, but I also think about where she is in her surroundings. You have to remember, there has been 40 years of oppression. The economy is at its all-time low. The freedom that her and her parents and others used to have is gone. The economy booming and things at their all-time high are gone. All the civil rest, gone. There's chaos and confusion, and there's just everything in that world of their time was jacked up. It's bad enough that this woman was born and had to live in a chaotic world, kind of like us. Lots of people are saying, I don't want to have children because I don't know what would happen to my kids if I had them. Who wants to have kids when we have people like this in office? And who wants to have children when we have things like this happening? And a lot of us, we look at our surroundings, whether it's the government on the federal level or the government on the local level. We look at the racial tension. We look at how our dollar is slowly becoming worth less and less. We look at the big picture and all of the indebtedness that we have here in America and all of the issues that we have going on. And if we're real honest, our surroundings will make us discouraged about the seed that God's got in us. Amen. See, this woman was not living in a good time. It wasn't like everything was going well and the government was at its all-time high and homes were selling and interest rates were low and her credit score was high and she had the best dream job that she ever wanted and everything was working perfectly in the world around her. No, everything was jacked up in her world. And then she comes home to barrenness year after year. God, isn't it bad enough that my world's jacked up, but now you got to mess my whole family up? She had it coming both ways. And I thought about that. And I think about how this angel of God showed up and says to her, woman of God, you're about to conceive and bear a son. And I thought to myself, how incredibly special she must have been that she could believe God beyond her situation and what it looked like. Not only did she believe God because she was barren, but she believed God when her country was barren. She believed God when nothing was working out. And can I just tell someone today, mothers, can I tell you today, even though your situation does not look very good, if God has spoken something into your life, you need to believe God for it. You can't say, well, I live in North City. I live in North County. I live in the city. I live over here in the bad area. I don't have a great education. I don't have a whole lot of stuff going for me. What I wanted to do, I probably can't do because what I wanted to do was about 10 years ago when the economy was going good, but now things aren't where they used to be, so I probably can't do what I've always wanted to do. No, you need to get that out of your head, because if God said to you that you are going to conceive, you need to stop looking at what's around you and stop looking at the barrenness inside of you, and you need to believe God at what he said and not what it looks like. Can I get amen? Incredible woman of God that was able to see the Lord, hold true to who he was, believe him for what he said in the midst of everything falling apart around him. It really kind of brings me good cheer, because even when things do not look good around me, I know that God can still be working something inside of me, and that I can bring forth blessings and favor and incredible increase even while the world around me is falling apart, because we serve a God that is completely able. That's why the Bible says that we are, as believers, planted by a river, meaning that our water source is not by the outside rain, but it's by the river. See, when we're tapped into God, it doesn't matter what's happening with our economy. When you're tapped into God, it doesn't matter who's in office. Did somebody hear me? I know some of y'all are Democrats and you think our city's better when they lead. Some of you are Republicans and you think the city or our nation's better when they lead. But can I tell you, I don't care who's leading, because I serve a God that's in absolute control. And whether Trump is in office or Clinton's in office or Obama's in office, either way, I'm going to still become something great, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the economy, in the government, in the political party. And we need to start believing God God for what he said over our lives and stand on it and say, Lord, I know you're going to come through even though St. Louis has fallen apart. If God's called you, you can accelerate and succeed regardless if our city falls or not. That's the God that we serve. Sometimes moms feel like it's not really possible to achieve those great things because, quite frankly, motherhood's not really special. At least it doesn't feel special. You know that they say that so many women who stay home with their children struggle with depression. Because when you're at home with your children, you don't feel that sense of value. You don't have that interaction with adults. But when you take a job, whether it's making $20,000 a year or $100,000 a year, what happens is you develop this sense of worth. It's so funny and actually scary how we as Americans can find worth in a deadbeat $40,000 a year job, but we can't find worth in raising our children. I need to tell a mother here today, it doesn't matter if you're raising your children and people don't recognize you, God recognizes you. And if he said that he's got a plan for your life, he's got a plan for your life. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter who gives you credit. And it doesn't matter how much money you're bringing in. We serve a God that speaks seeds into people's life and makes them come to pass. Amen. The second thing I want you to see is a mother's decision can affect a child's destiny. Let me tell you why I got quiet. Remember how I told you anytime you get quiet, it's because of conviction. This here is not the most encouraging. This is actually kind of toe-stepping. Because mothers, your decisions will impact and in many ways affect your child's destiny. By the grace of God, sometimes people are able to rise above the junk in their families. But more often than not, the rule generally is, so as the parents, so will the kids be. Now the world will tell you, oh, no, that's not true because you can. No, look, it is very, very true. Do you think it's weird that middle-class people have children and then their kids are usually middle-class? Rich people have kids, and guess where their children usually become? Rich kids. Real estate agents have children, and a lot of times their kids get into real estate. Doctors have kids, and a lot of times their kids get into the medical field. Preachers have kids and they become preachers. Alcoholics have kids and they become alcoholics. Now, I know there's always an exception to the rule and we don't need to be what our parents are by the grace of God. But let me tell you, mothers, that the decisions you make now in many ways will determine where the destiny of them are later. We play a part. It's a cause and effect, and we do indeed have an effect on our children. Amen. No one likes to hear that. A lot of times we think that we can smoke weed and have relationships and do all these things on the side, and as long as our kids don't know about it, it will never affect them. But can I tell you that it will affect them, because the Bible says a man will reap what he sows. It doesn't matter what we hide and what we bring to light to our children. What matters is what we do. So if we are liars, manipulators, womanizers, backstabbers, cheaters, drug users, drug abusers, alcoholics, but our children never know it, more than not, they will still have struggles because of our struggles, even though they never knew what our struggles were, because a man reaps what he sows. That's why God told this woman, your son is going to be special, but it's very important that you make some good decisions now. It's important that you make good decisions now. Not when they're born, not when they're 8, not when they're 12. Don't get them into a good high school. Don't try to start the process later. We need to become good parents now. Now. Look what the angel said. He says, now therefore, please be careful. Be careful. Please be careful not to go drink no Hennessy, no Erkenjerk, no Mad Dog 2020. Be careful not to go out and drink whatever you want to drink. Be careful. Be careful. And don't drink any similar drink. Don't drink no wine, no strong drink, no similar drink. Don't do any of that. And be careful. Don't eat no unclean food. You know, put those foods up. Get something with some nourishment in it. I want to name out some unclean foods right now, but I won't do it. Because y'all be like, I can't believe they talking about my hot Cheetos, bro. Talk about my hot fries, my ramen noodles. Why you going to put my ramen noodles on blast? Why you got to put my ramen on blast? So you need to make sure what the angel says. Look, you need to start right now. You need to start right now. Make sure you eat right. Make sure you drink right. Make sure you take care of yourself. And then it says, all that I commanded her, let her observe. See, she had to then take into responsibility her part as a motherhood and be a good mom. Mothers, please don't allow society to lie to you and say that your kids will come as good as they can become based off the education system. It doesn't matter what school your kids go to. If we are mothering and fathering our children, we can help them succeed even in the hood, in the trailer park, in the city, in the country, because we are the ones that are leading our children. Yes, granted, there's some schools better than Webster or Maryland Heights or a private school, and yes, there's areas with better schools, but can I tell you that we control our children's destiny and not the school system? We do. Mothers, you do. It's us. We can't wait for our teachers to send home the work they need or to give them the tutoring they need or wait for them to get a mentor or to get hooked up with some program. We need to step up and say, I'm going to be the tutor, the mentor, the teacher, the disciplinarian, the coach, and whatever else is necessary, because I won't let no one raise my children but me. We determine where our children go. We do. The next time we go make a dumb decision, let's think about our kids before we make it. Because it's bigger than us. The next thing I want you to see is we cannot underestimate the role of a woman. Say it again. We cannot underestimate the role of a woman. Women, we can't underestimate the role that you all play. I don't know if you saw me when I was reading this, but I started to chuckle. I was laughing a little bit because it's really funny, and you'll laugh with me here in a minute. It says in verse 9, it says, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. What kind of name is that, by the way? I feel like I'm messing it up, but I'm not. Whenever I hear it, I think of two things, Noah and manure. I'm not sure why. And it says that God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not there. This is fun. This is why it's so funny to me. Because God showed up to the woman first. And says, hey, look, I know you've been praying a long time. You've been believing God for a seed. You've been believing for breakthrough. And I just stopped by to tell you that God's about to give you a breakthrough. And she was excited. She was so excited that she does what most wives do. Not all, because I know there's some divided marriages. But most wives would go home and be so excited. Be like, guess what, baby? You're never going to believe it. Some man showed up on the scene and he prophesied in my life. And he told me that I was barren and that we haven't had kids for all these years. And he told me that we're about to have a child. And that he's going to be a deliverer and he's going to do great things. And the man was like, dude, what? That's dope. That's awesome. High five. What was his name? I don't know. Where's he from? I don't know. What'd he look like? I don't know. What do you know, woman? So then the man says, you know what? This woman, she don't know what she's talking about. Lord, why you go to her? Should have came to me. I would have known everything, but you should have came to me. He says, Lord, I pray that you'll come back and visit us again. Because this woman don't know what she's talking about. He didn't say that. I just kind of had that in there. But I pray you come back and visit us again. And so the Lord says, okay, I'm going to come back and visit you again. And look what it says. So God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God went and visited the woman again. And then just to make sure that we understand what it's saying, and it says, but Manoah, her husband, was not there. See, Manoah wasn't even there. And here's what I really begin to think about. I think about how women are able to hear the voice of God, but a lot of times men disrespect their wives' intuitive nature in hearing God's voice. Yeah, I'm sorry, men. See, I only preach stuff that I've been through. And my wife will still tell you that I probably don't completely respect her opinions and judgments as much as I could or should, but I'm like 150,000 times better than I used to be. And I've just had to grow up in 12 years of marriage and learn to respect my wife, because what I have found out over the years is there's some times that I think I know better, and God would say to me, why in the world did you get married if you're going to make all the decisions on your own? You should just be single. If you think that you're so good, then why in the world did you say you want a helpmate? And I began to realize there was times that I confided in my wife and asked her opinion and she'd give it, but then I'd still kind of say, it's not really right. And I'd do something else and come to find out she was right and I was wrong. And then after years of going through this and constantly being reminded by her and by the Lord that I, in many ways, don't respect my wife's opinion, God finally began to break me down. And he says, Ray, you need to listen to my daughter, because I speak to her like I speak to you. Matter of fact, you stubborn mule, most of the time I speak to her more than I speak to you. I ain't saying it again. Everybody's like, when's he going to get over it? Then he say, he preaching good. Keep preaching, Pastor. I wish my husband was here today. He next door working with them kids. We listen to this message tonight. Y'all gonna leave here. Some of y'all gonna leave here and your husband's gonna say, baby, what you want for Mother's Day? To go home, get on Facebook, and watch that video of Pastor Ray just preaching. And you'll fast forward it about 3/4 and say, listen, right here. But I say that because here's what I've begun to realize, is that when my wife and I got married, in many ways, I came in ahead of her in the marriage. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Like, my dad had taught me a lot more with finances. I had already built a home. I had already been in the corporate world and have made good money, where my wife is more like this college student trying to figure it out, like just positionally where we were was two different places. Fiscally, when it comes to saving money, she wasn't there. She wasn't taught a lot of that. So what happens when we got married is she relied on me because she knew that I had more skills than her, and I naturally stopped relying on her, or maybe never started. And what happened was I ended up being married to a woman, but everything we did in the house was what I wanted. And it really wasn't the most healthy. I mean, it was good for a while. It worked for a while. But then she got mad because I didn't respect her opinions. And I got mad because she wasn't standing up and helping me. And everything we did was what I wanted. And she looked like me. And I didn't want to be married to me, or I would have married a mirror. So then finally, she's like, well, if you want me to start, giving input, you need to shut up and let my input be given. And, so we went through all of that. And, it's what married couples do. And you go through it and you figure it out. And what I've learned to find out over the years is, even though I am very much more qualified and skilled in some areas, she's got more skill and qualifications in other areas. and that she can hear the voice of God, and I need to rely on her. Yes, I'm the head of the house, and I'm the leader, and I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm the one going out when it goes down, and I'm going to stand up and defend our home. And at the end of the day, I'm the spiritual priest of the house, and she's looking for me to lead the home. But can I tell you that we're a team, and I need her input, and we do this together, and there are some things that I cannot hear or see or understand, and I need my wife to be there and do it for me. She's going to probably play this back to me in the future. I am shooting myself in the foot. This is your Mother's Day present, baby. This is it. She's like, this is all I need. Her eyes are closed. She's sitting back like this, just listening. But all jokes aside, it's easy for us to stop respecting or never start respecting our spouses. And I really believe that women have an incredible ear for things. I've heard story after story, and I'll just use Andrew for an example. Him and I have talked, but many of us have talked, Drew, about how we're mules. And it's like we think we know better, and then we're like, yeah, she was right again. Right? Ain't that right, Drew? She was right again. She was right again. Because we do it. That's what happens. But you know what? Here this woman was hearing God, and the man was like, bro, you ain't hear God. God, sin, come on back. We need to hear you again, and I need to be there. And then he says, yeah, I got one for you. You can't hear me. I'm going to the woman again. But this time, it's so funny because he went to the woman. But if he would not have stayed around for the man to come and see, he would have probably thought she was lying. So what happened, if you look at verse 23, it says, if the Lord has desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and the grain offering from the hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things that are happening right now at this time. See, because what happened is if you follow out this story, the woman said, all right, look, you're come back to me again. This is the second time. Why are you back again? My husband was praying. He didn't believe me. Okay, well, look, we're going to show him a trick. Stay here. And she went home. And she said, baby, he's back. Really? Yeah, come on. So he said, the Bible says that he followed her, and together they went back. And he's like, dang, I can't believe. Why are you showing up and talking to her? Why didn't you come to us? I prayed and said, come to us. You don't hear me. So I went to her. I'm only staying around because I want you to have confirmation that I hear, that she hears me, even though you don't. Okay, I get it. And then it says that they offered up an offering to the Lord, and at that moment, in the flaming fire, the angel was gone. And the scripture says that the man was scared and was like, oh, bro, we about to die up in this place. We about to die. See, that's why God never went to him. Look what he says. I mean, look, she encounters God twice. She sees him once. He sees him once. And then he ascends into heaven through the flame. And the first thing this man says is, they want to kill us. And the woman said, if the Lord wanted to kill us, why in the world would he have taught us and told us and spoke to us and revealed to us? He would have just killed us. He doesn't want to kill us, you big idiot. And what I need you to see here is we cannot underestimate the role that women play in our lives, men. They may not speak as well as you. Their stories may be very long. And they may give points that's not necessary. They may tell you things that's not needed. And that's the other day my wife was telling the story, and she was going. It was here and back in school, gangs, and this happened, and this happened, and fights, and we went and dropped out and got beat up and fought back and slept machetes. And then at the end, and it's like, and my friend is actually a fighter now. And I was like, why didn't you just tell me she was a fighter? That's all I needed. I didn't need all that other stuff. Did you get chicken? Well, I was on my way to get chicken, and can you believe it? I got caught at a red light for 8 minutes. but I ran into a girl that came to our church 3 times. You remember we prayed for her at the altar. And then at the end, we got the chicken on sale. And I know, she ain't like me and I'm not like her. Sometimes I want her to be me and I shouldn't. And I know I fail miserably at it still. I know I do. But can I tell you that one thing that I have learned is that there are some things that my wife can hear and see that I can't. And I believe that there's a serious attack among men where the enemy is trying to bring as much animosity, division, and separation between the husband and wife as he can. And makes us want to disrespect and not listen and not hear the information of our wives. And men, can I tell you that you need to listen to your wife? You all are a team. You're a team. It's not you leading the show and she just does what you say. No, that's not a team. This is a team. You're not a dictator. You're a coach. Amen. See, no, people don't like that. Women, y'all should be shouting. It's Mother's Day. Don't ask me to preach this next week. So do not underestimate your women. And women, don't you underestimate yourselves. Did you hear me? Don't underestimate yourself. Well, he got the education. I don't care. God speaks to people who ain't got no education. Yeah, but he's the priest and spiritual head of the home. So God speaks to you. You can go to the spiritual priest of the home and say, hey, babe, the Lord spoke to me. What you think? Like, don't underestimate your role. If God's speaking to you, share it with your husband. Talk about it. Don't say, oh, I got to sit back and wait for God to speak to them. No, God spoke to you for you to speak to them. Don't over-spiritualize it. God gave me a word, now I need to pray that they get it. No, you got it, so that means they got it. You all are one, right? If you're one. This is marriage counseling 101. The last point is this. This is good. You ready? Who you are is more important than what your name is. I'm going to close my MacBook on that one. Who you are is more important than what your name is. I began to read this scripture, Judges chapter 13, and it continues constantly over and over. Matter of fact, I believe it mentions his name too much. Say the name Manoah, 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 over and over and over and over. And you keep hearing the name Manoah, Manoah, Manoah. But then the key figure of the story is the woman. How many times have you ever watched a movie and the main character's name is never revealed? None. The main character's name you know all about. Most of the time, the main character, you know their family, you know where they came from, you know their struggles, you know everything about them, and it's those backup, I don't even know what you call it in theater, but those positions that aren't really important that you just play behind the scenes. What they call extras? Yeah, extras. You extra. You an extra. So if you an extra, you just walk by. All you doing is this. That's it. You just get to walk by on the street. Right? And they're like, oh, there I am! You ain't important. You ain't got no name. You ain't got nothing. That's an extra. Well, you would think, based off the story, that this woman would be an extra. We don't know anything about her in reference to her name, her family's name, what tribe she was a part of. It talks about Manoah. It talks about him living in the town of Zorah and being of the tribe of the Danites, but we don't know where she's from. We don't know her family structure. We don't know her name, middle name, last name, where she came from. We don't know anything in reference to what her name is or anything of such. And I began to sit there and ponder. I said, God, I don't get this. Why is it in Judges chapter 13, the whole story is about the woman bringing forth Samson, but yet the woman's not even named? And the Lord said to me, because I want you to understand, the most important thing is not what her name is, but who she is. If you look at the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she didn't have a name either, because it wasn't important knowing her name. It was important knowing who she was. She was broken. She was jacked up. She'd been married 5 times. She's now living with a sixth man. She kept drinking but was never filled. She was incomplete. She was jacked up. She was miserable. That's what we needed to know about the Samaritan woman. Her name wasn't important. Who she was. The same is with this woman. We don't need to know what name she has, what tribe she's from, what her degree was, and how much money she made. All we need to know is that this woman was a woman of God that put her faith in the seed that God gave her, and she stood on it until she conceived Samson. Can I tell you today that it's not important what your title is? It's not important what your name is. It's not important how much money you make. It's not important how many people recognize you, celebrate you, give you pats on the back. The only thing that's important is how your integrity stays intact even when everything around you is falling apart. Can I tell you, mothers, that it doesn't matter if your children don't recognize you and give you a hand clap and stand up for you and applaud and say, you're the greatest mother I ever had. It doesn't matter if your husband says, you're a great wife. It doesn't matter what these people are saying. I know that you don't have a name. I know you don't have a title. I know you don't have a position. I know you're not celebrated. I know people's not recognizing you for all you do, and it doesn't feel real good. But can I tell you that's not important? What's important is that you make sure that your character is more important than your name. That you make sure that your integrity is more important than you, than your title. And I tell you that it doesn't feel real good to be a mother at home with your children cleaning up snot and puke and wiping butts and runny noses and diarrhea one day and stool that won't come out the next day. And they're in the tub taking a bath and they pee and the next day they poop. And then they yell at you and scream at you and lie on you. And then they play you against your husband and kids against kids. And you're, as my wife said, refereeing and teaching and wearing all of these hats. And it doesn't feel like anybody cares. You ever been there, women? But even when you're at that moment, I need to tell you that your title, your name, your position, that's not what's important. What's important is that you keep your integrity with Jesus. If you know who you are, it doesn't matter what people call you. I need somebody to hear that. This is my closing right here. If you know who you are, it doesn't matter what people call you. Someone called me the other day. I won't call out any names, but he called me from Maryland. I ain't talked to this dude. He was the high school football star. Went to a very big university, played football, and I've been out 20 years of high school, next year 20 years, and I haven't talked to him in 20 years, and I really didn't talk to him a ton then, to be honest with you, because he was a jock, and I was a street dude. So, you know, we kind of, when he started to become, want to party and stuff, we was cool. But outside of that, we didn't really hang out a whole lot. And he calls me the other day. I don't even know where he got my phone number. And he says, Ray, I need to talk to you. I said, what's up, man? I ain't talked to you in 20 years. He says, you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. And he says, I need to talk to you. I'm at my lowest point in my life. I ain't talked to him in 20 years. I'm at the lowest point of my life, and I'm like, what's happening? And he just begins to talk and just kind of talk about his story and going to college and getting a degree and getting other degrees and working a great job and making tons of money. And somewhere along the line, him and his wife started having problems and the kids, and then he turned to cocaine and kind of started spiraling downhill. And long story short, he lost his great job, and now he works a job making $15 an hour. Now, some of you are saying, oh, that's great money. I wish I made $15 an hour, but coming from a man that made $100,000 a year, he's thinking $15 an hour ain't nothing. And I said to him, I says, well, where do you work at? And he got quiet and he says, well, and he started giving me a story. Well, before I tell you where I work at, let me tell you that, man, I've been through a whole lot, you know, and I got my degree. I got this. So he's telling me his credentials. And after he tells me his credentials, then he tells me his problems. And then after he tells me his problems, then he tells me where he works at. And when he tells me where he works at, the reason he laid all this out is because he wanted me to understand that the job he has is not the job he shouldn't have, and he's embarrassed of the job he has because it's looked down upon by people. I'm just a trash man. You know, but you know, I'm thankful for it, but you know, I'm just a trash man. And I said, man, there's an identity issue. And I said, there's an identity issue. And I said, you can't even celebrate where you are because you're embarrassed about who you are. You're embarrassed about the job you have. You can only find self-worth in how much money you make or the title that you carry. And I said, and I needed him to understand that he makes more money than me. But yet, I don't feel that way. And the reason that is because a long time ago, I realized that my value is not determined in what I make or what my title is or what my position is or the people that's around me, that my value is in God, and that's it. And yes, look, this is the pastor's struggle. People say, hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Great. What do you do? I pastor. Oh, okay, cool. How big's your church? That's the first question. If you talk to anybody, they're in ministry, if they're in business, if they own a business, if they're an educator, if they're anybody that's halfway successful, they will always ask, how big is your church? Because that's the gauge to find out how successful you are. That's what they say. How big's your church? If you're under 50 members, I probably won't celebrate you. If you got between 2 and 300, you're pretty cool. But, you know, once you get big, then you're good. Like, and you know what? I had to come to the place where I say, God, it doesn't matter if there's 20 people. I'm going to say, my name is Pastor Ray Sewell, and I pastor Diverse City Church, and we've got 20 people. And regardless of how many people's in our church, I need you to know that my value is not determined by the people in our church or the money I make or the people I smooth, or the sermons I preach, or the altar calls we have. I am valued by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and my position does not determine who I am, because I am valued by God. And I need somebody to know today that even though you're a single mother, it doesn't mean you're not important. Even though you're wiping butts and cleaning snotty noses, it doesn't mean that you're not valuable. God loves you and has a plan for your life, and you are more than what you wake up to every morning, routine, day in and day out. You are created in the image of God, and he loves you, and he's celebrating you right where you are. Oh, pastor, once I get a good job, then I'll feel worthy. No, you won't. You'll get a good job and feel just as bad as you do today. Money doesn't make you feel better. Positions don't make you feel better. Notoriety don't make you feel better. It's coming to the understanding that you are a child of the King, and you don't need nothing, no one to be filled, because God is more than enough. God, I pray right now that every person that is waiting for an opportunity to brighten their day will begin to change their perspective. And rather than waiting for an opportunity, they'll know the opportunities right now. They're going to leave wiping the same butts, cleaning the same nose, cleaning the same kitchen, washing the same dishes, doing all the same monotonous, mundane, up and down work every day. No credit. It doesn't feel good. They're going to go home and do the same stuff, God. But you can unlock something in them. And that's my prayer. I pray, God, that you're going to unlock something in the mothers all through this building, and that they are going to begin to celebrate who they are and not the name or the title they have. Woman of God, I pray that something's happening inside of you today. Whether you're home with kids, you're out with your girlfriends, or you're at work, you are walking in the favor of the Lord, regardless of what's happening around you. Father, please have your way. Please, Lord, my heart breaks for women with insecurities. My heart breaks for women who want to be like someone else and they just can't find satisfaction in themselves. Oh God, I pray that something is taking place in people today. And that even though they're going to return to the same thing that they left this morning, that they're going to go back and their countenance is going to be different. Lord, I pray that people are putting their value in who they are rather than what they are. Mothers, if there's anybody here and you say, well, this message was for me today. I needed to be in the house of God today. If this message is for you, can you join me, mothers? Anybody? We're going to close right now. Men, get ready because I'm going to make a call for you next. But mothers, if that's you, I need you to join me. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. It's okay. Join us up. Join us up. Join us up here. If that's you, please come. Your jobs, man. It's not. Lorinda doesn't even remember this, but she used to have this same struggle being at home with the kids because she'd be with these brats all day long. And I'm out working with people, ministering to people, feeling like my day's been fulfilled. I'm satisfied. I prayed with folks. People were healed. They were delivered. They were encouraged. I've met with married couples and seen them get closer together. And all these wonderful things are happening outside of the home. And the whole time, she's at home working with these brats. They were miserable. The house is a mess. She washes clothes all day. She feels like a nanny. Right? That's it. And I realized that me as a husband, I needed to step up my game because my wife was becoming depressed and I needed to be what she needed because she wasn't getting it at home to these kids. So I say that to say that I understand. It doesn't feel good. Mothering doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel, now granted there's good times in mothering, duh. But as a whole, man, it'll beat you up. And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you can get some spunk in your life, some joy in your life, some hope in your life, some smiles in your life, some laughter in your life, some pep in your step. That's what I pray. I want God to begin to do something in you that you can see yourself as valuable. Amen? Is there anybody else? So that message is for me. I'm not a mom, but that message is for me. If that's, can you come? I'm not a mom, but that message is for me. Guys, look, you're not exempt here. If you say that was for me, Pastor. Anybody? Thank you. Come on up. Come on up. Got some fellas coming. Got some single or at least no children. Ladies coming up, come on up. If you say, that was for me, man, that's for me. I know I'm missing something. I know I'm missing something. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, look, all over the building. Thank you. Come on. That was for me. That was for me. That was for me. Look, I came here to celebrate mothers, but this is for me. If that's you, come on up. I want something to be different in my life, Pastor. I'm ready for something to change. If that's you, come on. Look, we're not in this alone, man. Look at all of us. Look at all of us.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blessed you.